listening to a very special message from Joy Community Church.
In Proverbs 21:22, the writer presents a tension for us that every person struggles with. And that's the tension between being diligent and being lazy. There are sometimes we love to be diligent. We love to set goals. And we love to get a job done and do it well. And then there are times when we just like to hang out, lay low, and be lazy. All of us have struggled with that. Every single person in this room, even the most productive person, has been lazy at one time or another. Proverbs makes it clear that a person who is diligent, when they work hard and do their best at the job that's been given to them. It also points out that being diligent is a vital part of wise living. Like the young man in the story, we want to be known to be somebody who is honest, who gives an honest day's work, who's punctual, who's available, who does what's expected and does more than what's asked. They're dependable. Proverbs doesn't apologize for highlighting the outcome of one who struggles with laziness. It boldly refers to laziness as one who is slothful or is actually titled a sluggard. One who is lazy struggles to begin things, to finish things, to face things, and to risk things. The true tension occurs when we struggle with being productive versus procrastinating. Procrastination. You may not start off being a lazy person, but you may start off procrastinating, which can lead you into becoming a lazy person. There are times when every person struggles with being diligent or being lazy. And how do you personally handle that tension you experience when you actually feel like being lazy? There are times I feel like being lazy, where the remote is my best friend. There are times when I have my favorite pillow on the couch and my little comfy blanket, and I just want to hang out, and I tell my family I'm taking a 15-minute nap, which turns into an hour and a half, 2 hours. Don't nod your head, Greta. And I just want to lay low. There are times where life has kicked me in the back and I become depressed. And I struggle to get out from under a dark cloud where I lack confidence, or somebody has said or done something, or life has just come from so many directions, and I'm in this turmoil, in a vortex of turmoil, and it leads me to depression. And that depression leads me to a place of procrastinating, and I keep putting off things I know I need to do. And I actually want to do them. But I don't have the energy. I don't have the desire. I've lost hope. Sometimes these just get in my way. Excuse me. There we go. Sometimes you give in. But you can't give in too long. And you can't stay there too long. Because according to the book of Proverbs, it leads to disaster and unproductivity in your life. Proverbs 22:13 says, the sluggard says, there is a lion outside. Or if I go out to work,
I will be murdered in the streets. What I want to do today is, can you put the next screen up, please? There we go. So today I want to kind of show the difference and the comparison between one who is diligent and then when we are lazy. So when we are diligent and when we are lazy. And I want to take you to a few verses in Proverbs 21 that will help us understand when we are diligent and when we become lazy. And we'll start with verse 5. And it says in Proverbs 21:5, the plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. And so when we are diligent, according to verse 5, we are willing to think, we're willing to plan, and we're more intentional about the choices and decisions we know we need to make. And we know that wisdom is found when one begins to plan ahead. Most of us like to leave things to the last minute. But then the best type of work we want to achieve can't be achieved in the last minute, because what we needed to get done may take more time in order for us to do it accurately. I've botched up more jobs around the house because I've left them to the last minute and I had to redo them because I've left them to the last minute. A lazy person, according to verse 5, is somebody who's impulsive and they lack initiative when it comes to planning. They don't plan. They don't think they need to plan. Planning's not important. They love to kind of live on the edge, and they're spontaneous. They believe that spontaneity is the answer to life. And so we kind of withdraw from responsibility, and what happens is we begin to take shortcuts. I don't know about you, but sometimes when you get something that you have to put together and you get a whole array of instructions, I like to look at the pictures and think I figured it out. Right? And when you look at the pictures, you only get half the message. But there's so much information that we have to take in that we think, well, we can take a shortcut here. And we're impulsive and we just follow the directions, and we realize after we put it together, we let the most significant thing out of the thing we're supposed to be putting together. I don't know about you, I've done that on many occasions. And don't be impulsive when you have to make decisions. Don't be impulsive in a situation that requires you to stop and plan. And don't neglect the importance of planning when you need to plan something and organize something. Verse 17, read with me. It says, he who loves pleasure will become poor. Whoever loves wine and oil will never be rich. And we see that when we're diligent, according to verse 17, we use self-control in how we purchase or how we really desire the luxurious items of life. And when we become lazy, we enjoy the pleasures of life without using restraint. And that's so important as a Christian, because when people are viewing our lives and we're in a worldly environment, and there is a leisure atmosphere to that worldly environment, and you as a Christian were invited into that environment, people are watching. You have a testimony. You have a witness. And part of being diligent is upholding not your desire first, but the desire of the Lord. And that is that you be a witness for His glory. And so when there's activity that encourages you to have leisure, whatever that may be, whether it's eating or drinking, and whatever beverage is your choice, it's do I do it in moderation and restraint, or do I just allow myself to recklessly behave in such a way that there's no self-control? There's serious ramifications to that in our lives. I've witnessed them as a pastor, as I've helped many people who struggle with addictions deal with those specific areas of pleasure and where they've lacked restraint in their lives. We have an affection and we lust after things we can't afford. That's what we do at times when we're lazy. If we prefer pleasure and leisure and recreation and casual living, the outcome can be, if that's what we're focusing on, and we're not focused on the importance of being productive and working hard, that can lead to poverty. So what do you do when you face that tension, that struggle? I think you have to determine in your heart that you're going to pray and ask the Lord for self-control. And when it's difficult to wait for something, and we live in this purchasing society where it's the immediate pleasure. And even if you can't afford it, you deserve it. And if you can't afford it, you need to buy it. And if you can't afford it, get it the easy way. Put it on credit. And so we have our whole society maxed out and stressed out because of those behaviors. And so being diligent, you would be mindful of that. And really use this three-step process before you purchase an item. First, stop and evaluate, can I really afford this? Second, think, do I really need this? Is this an essential thing that I need at this moment? And can I actually afford it? And do I need to wait and save so that I can have it? Or if I would have planned and put away for a rainy day, then I would have it if something of an emergency would come up. And so many times when you take financial classes, they also tell you in those financial classes, make sure you set away a little bit of a nest egg so that you have something when it's an emergency arises, so that you don't have to be impulsive and buy in the immediate moment. Use self-control and then act. So stop, think, and act. And that's where you made that decision. No, I can't afford that right now. No, I just want to let you in on one of my little habits. So when I'm going to the grocery store or I'm shopping at the dollar store, so in my mind, the dollar store's the cheapest store, right? So at the dollar store, if you get something, it's cheap. Just buy it, right? And no. No, you're setting yourself up for some issues. Because you can just go down the rows with your little cart. Oh, I need that. Oh, I need that. Oh, I need that. So I'll go in with a list of things that I need because I know myself too well. And I'll go in and then I'll see the Coke machine. And I'll really convince myself I need that Coke at this moment. It's hot out, it's humid out, it's 20 ounces instead of 18 or 16, so I'm getting more for my buck. Oh yeah, oh yeah. And then I'll just I did it the other day and the Lord said, why did you just buy that? I said, I needed it. It's hot out here. I'm sweating. And the Lord reminded me that I had air conditioning in the store. I had air conditioning in my car. And it was a brief 30 seconds before I went from the store to the car. I did not need that soda. I want to tell you, you would be very happy if I said I put that back. Wouldn't you? But I didn't. And when I opened it, it was delicious. And I made sure I sucked that sucker back and I said, 20 ounces for a dollar. Now, you just take that one moment of undiscipline and you multiply that over the years. Where would that be if I don't behave that way? Are you following me? Now I'm picking on myself because it's the reality of that moment. You can't preach this if you're not going to tell the truth.
Right.
You hear what I'm saying? I do want to let you know that Coke was really good. But what a moment between the Lord and I in my quiet time. And he said, I want you to stop. I want you to think. And then I want you to act with godly purpose. I'm like, wow. You see, we're all purpose-driven people somehow. We all know what we want, when we want it, why we want it, right? And so we're impulsive. But he said, when you have godly purpose and you're focused, then you can let those things go. You realize they're really not moving you in the direction you're meant to go. I want to go in the direction I'm meant to go. That's what I want in my life. So, really an important lesson for me. Let's go to verse 20. I won't mention my Coke anymore because I know some of you are getting thirsty. In the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil, but a foolish man devours all he has. And we see here that when we're diligent, we allow God's wisdom to guide our decisions, our desires, and our delights. We're all to enjoy the things that delight us. God's wisdom allows us to proportion our expenses based on our income. And that's why it's so important, folks, to have a budget. That's why it's so important to know what you bring in, how you bring it in, how many hours you work to earn that. And do I really want to spend my money in such a way that it's frivolity? It's just on pleasure. It's just on delight. No, I want to look at my expenses. I want to look at my income. And I want to map it out so that I'm not overspending. But when we're lazy, we lack that self-control, according to verse 20. And we lack that desire for moderation. And there seems to be this moment where we don't want, where we know that we don't have the money. We know we haven't set a budget. We know we can't afford such and such. But because we love the pleasure and we want what we want, we devour all we have on those things that bring us entertainment and leisure rather than the necessities of life. And so I watched this. I grew up in this, by the way. I grew up in poverty, so I know what I'm talking about. My parents lived in poverty and didn't pay for rent, didn't pay for electricity, didn't pay for things like that. And so we were, either the electricity was turned off or we were kicked out of our apartment or our home. Or my parents lost all our furniture. Or there were times that I even lived in cars. We lived in a pink station wagon one time. That was embarrassing. You live in a pink station wagon. Sometimes when they didn't pay their rent, we thought we were going on summer vacation. Because we were going camping in the summer in tents. We didn't know that we had no home to go to after the camping season was over. And so we lived in tents in the summertime, or we lived with my grandparents in their cottage. So I grew up that way, where there was actually no money to go out and eat. And even in the 60s, back in the 60s, families did not go out much to eat. I don't know about, but my family, we went out every Friday to the Red Barn. I don't know if you remember the Red Barn. I'm not sure if that was a Canadian restaurant. It must have been. It didn't last long. But anyway, we went to the Red Barn. And every child had hamburgers and a drink, a soft drink, and fries. And we didn't have the money to do that. And so I lived, and it took me when I got saved. Let me tell you the truth of this. I had to go and take financial classes. I had to learn how to budget. I had to learn the significance of saving money. And it was hard for me to learn to do that because I grew up in an atmosphere of if you wanted it, go and get it. We would go out on Friday nights or Saturday nights as a family, all of us, load in the station wagon and go out to the drive-in movies. And my parents would buy all the popcorn, all the junk that went with that. What you're doing with your child in that is you're feeding that leisure spirit, that entertaining spirit. It's a spirit. I know it because I had to be set free from it. And so there is this thing that I have to really put an effort to today, and that is being very mindful of where I'm spending my money, why I'm spending my money, who I'm spending my money on, and is it necessary for me to do that? When you're lazy and you don't want to put the effort into that, you can just throw that to the wind so quickly. I've done it over and over. And I've had to pray for God to bring me and realign me again. So I'm not talking about something I don't understand. Because I've lived it. And I've watched it. And I know where that poverty led my parents. To wrong decision making. Immoral decision making. Leisurely behavior decisions that destroyed the family. I looked at that when I was 13 or 14. I said, whoa, if I don't do something with my life, I will never get to college. I will never be able to live on my own. And I won't have a job that will make me a productive person. I made a decision. And I began, when I worked, I would put a certain amount away into a college fund. And when I went off to my first year of college, I paid for my first year of college. That was out of nothing. Only the Lord could do that. I'm telling you the truth. And I'm saying that because if you're here and you've been trapped in poverty, you can get out of poverty. Do you hear what I'm saying? I was trapped in poverty. I grew up in it. And so I'm encouraging you to have self-control and moderation. Let's move on. I like what James in the first chapter 5 says. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Whether you're in a mood to be productive, or you're in a mood to be procrastinating, you're in a mood to be diligent, you're in a mood to be lazy, or you've now taken on you're in your heart and in your spirit, you are just being diligent, or you've made up your mind, you're going to just live life and live it the way you want to, and you become lazy, and you choose that you don't want to work, and you choose that you don't want to give to the poor, or you don't want to give to the kingdom of God, and that's your choice. But you realize, even as you're here today, and you're going, whoa, I have a responsibility to the Lord. Before you ever have a responsibility to your family, you have a responsibility to the Lord. Before you have a responsibility to your job, you have a responsibility to your family. And then you have a responsibility to your job. And so James is saying, if you need wisdom, hey, admit that you need it and ask God to give you the plan of action so that you can get out of the strait you're in. That's wisdom. We're talking about wisdom for the modern mind. Our culture, the modern mind today is get what you can get when you can get it and get it quickly. No matter what it takes to get it. That's the modern mind today. But the modern mind in the book of the Lord says, wait a second. If you want to change your life, if you want deliverance from your situation, if you want answers to your current status of life, I am so willing to give it to you generously. I have an abundance of wisdom. I have answers to your problems. And I can provide and lead you into an... Well, I have people who now tell me, well, I don't need to work. Really? Because the Bible tells me if you don't work, you don't eat. So what do you need to do to get yourself moving in a direction that will help you to work? And if you can't work, what can you do to help motivate yourself to be diligent? Amen? That's what I'm talking about. That's the most important thing. Verses 25 to 26 says this: the sluggard's cravings will be the death of him because his hands refuse to work. All day long he craves for more, but the righteous give without sparing. And we see that when we're diligent, in verses 25 to 26, we're focused achievers who make an effort to successfully choose who we're going to work for, who we're going to give to, and what we're going to give to others. When we're lazy and being lazy, we refuse to work and we develop the we're afraid to develop the necessary skills to get us the job we need to get. Or we're intimidated by the experience and so it's so overwhelming, we shut down emotionally, we shut down mentally, and we don't know where to begin. And we battle inside ourselves because we know what we want, but we don't know how to get there. And there are enough programs to help people learn how to interview. There are enough job skills places that help people get skills or develop skills. There's so many areas and places in the city that do that as well. Matthew Henry says this. He said, "The lazy are enemies to themselves. Their laziness starves them. The desires stab them." Matthew Henry, that's from Proverbs chapter 21. I heard about a man whose family sent him to the doctor because he constantly complained about being too sick to work. The doctor examined his patient and then told him to get dressed and meet him in his office. When the man came into the doctor's office and sat down, he said, "So give it to me straight, doc. Don't use any complicated, fancy-sounding medical terms. My family wants the truth in plain English. What's wrong with me?" "All right," the doctor said. "I'll make it as plain as I can. There's nothing wrong with you. You're just lazy." The man sat silent for a moment and then said, "I see. Now, will you give me a complicated, fancy-sounding medical term so I can tell my family?" Make every effort when you're facing this struggle of being diligent and lazy and refusing to work. Make every effort to get the skills, to learn the skills, to apply the skills, to get the job that you would like to receive. And to be honest enough when you're going for an interview to say, "I may not have those skills, but if you're willing to teach me, I will learn those skills and I will be a faithful employee for you." If you speak honestly like that, you will get a job. How do I know that? Because I've spoken those exact words. When I didn't understand, or I lacked knowledge, or I didn't have the skill set, but I had a determined spirit, I'd say, "If you give me this job, I'll be worth two employees." And I'm telling you, I had to work hard. I got the job. And I wasn't two employees, but I worked hard. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so I encourage you, make every effort to get godly counsel also when you're partnering up in business. You learn that in verses 25 to 26 as well, is that when you're partnering up with people, make sure that you're partnering up with somebody of like spirit, like-mindedness. and so that your work is effective. Let's go to chapter 22 and look at verse 13. And we just read this in the opening. The sluggard says, "There is a lion outside, or I will be murdered in the street." When the diligent are thinking about that scripture, there's this awareness of what others expect of us, and we're motivated by a hard day's work. But when we're procrastinating and lazy, we make ridiculous excuses. We make outlandish reasons for why we shouldn't be working. We rationalize our laziness, and we let fear. If you read that scripture, there's a sense of fear. Fear is very real. I don't know about you, but when you went for an interview where you were sweating, your palms were sweating, and you were sitting in, you're like, am I in the right place? Am I doing the right thing? Is this the right thing I want to do? Fear is very real. You can't ignore it, but you can't allow it to control you either. And you can't allow it to be the reason why you won't take a step of faith and move in an environment that you're not skilled in to get a job you need to get. And so you can overcome fear. How do I know that? Because God's perfect love will deliver us from fear. And in those moments when we're fearful and we're shy or we're not motivated to go and get a job or stay in a job or work hard in a job, and we feel that we're kind of out of our league, that's at the time we need to lean into God like never before and trust in the Lord. The lazy frighten themselves from real work by imaginary difficulties. There's a lion in the street. We don't consider our real danger. And the real danger is not the lion in the street. The real danger is the devil, who's nipping at our heels and lying to us. I want to give you 10 reminders to help you stop making excuses of why you shouldn't get a job, why you shouldn't work hard, why you should remain lazy. First of all, stop comparing yourself to others. Stop fearing the unknown. Stop blaming others for your misfortune. Take responsibility. Set small and attainable goals. Maybe your goal shouldn't be, maybe your goal will be, I'm setting the alarm today. That might be the beginning of a new day for you. Or I purposely iron clothes and put clothes out in the morning because I know I'm going to go and have an interview tomorrow. And so I'm pre-planning what I'm going to do because I'm going to overcome either fear or laziness, taking responsibility, setting attainable goals. Learn from your mistakes. Don't focus on your weaknesses. You have the ability to change. Remember that. And you realize that it's okay not to be perfect. I think that stops a lot of people right there. Can I tell you? I compare myself to people who are more skilled, have more experience in a specific area, have been more productive in their lives, have initials in front of their names. I've met many people with initials in front of their names, and they're not hard workers either. And then I've met people with no initials in front of their names, and they're extremely gifted, hardworking people. And then I met people who do have initials in front of their names, and they deserve those initials because they've worked hard to get those. Amen? And so you can't always think that you have to be perfect in order to work hard and not be lazy. And then take action. If you're looking for a helping hand, there's one at the end of your sleeve. I love the motto of the Hope Shop. It's not a hand out, but a hand up. And it has to be the hand at the end of their own sleeve. Does that not help us? So when you're facing that tension, that struggle of being diligent and lazy, and you're intimidated and you're fearful, it's your choice. You will either continue to make excuses of why you don't have what you need, or why you're continually living in this place where you're unproductive. You have to answer those questions, and you have to be willing to give up your excuses and make changes. Stop making excuses if you're able to work. If you're physically able to work, if you're emotionally able to work, if you're mentally able to work, then work is what the book of Proverbs is saying. Now, this is, some people are like, Pastor James, you're a little rough on us today. What's up with you? Did you put something in your Cheerios this morning? Unsweetened almond milk, yes. I'm not saying what I think. I'm speaking from the Word of God today. Are you hearing me? I'm not speaking my own opinion. I'm not speaking my own insight. I'm speaking from Proverbs. Wisdom for the modern mind. That's what I'm speaking about. Let's take the last verse in chapter 22. It says, "Do you see a man skilled in his work? He will serve before kings, and he will not serve before obscure men." I love that scripture. That's an encouraging word to all of us. Because when we are in that mode of productivity and we're diligent, we excel at our work because we've been willing to develop our skill set. We've been willing to develop our talent. We've been able to use our spiritual gifts, not for our own glory, but for the kingdom of God. When you have a kingdom mentality, your work takes on a different perception. When your work is about you and what you can get and what you need and how it fulfills you, and it's not based on kingdom perspective, that work will only last so long, and you'll find an excuse of why you need to leave it. Are you with me? It's true. We are granted favor. When we are productive and diligent, dependable, we're on time, we come in, we do our work with excellence, not perfection. We're teachable, we're flexible, we'll take on a little more responsibility. You will find that God will open doors of influence for you. And you will sit before people you never thought you would have the privilege to sit before. And you didn't earn it. God is the one who opened the door on your behalf. And I could tell you many stories of many people who've experienced sitting with influential people because they were diligent, productive, hardworking people. And when we choose to be lazy, we lack confidence. And there are seasons, can I tell you, when I've been lazy and my confidence has waned. And when my confidence has waned, I didn't see with godly perspective the path I was on. I started to compare myself. I started to be angry with myself. Started to be angry with others because they were actually better at what I should be good at. You hear what I'm saying? I copped an attitude. People didn't want to be around me. I've been in that place, in that funk at times. And I have to actually pull myself out of that and say, whoa, whoa, whoa. I do have the skills. I do have the talent. I do have the calling to do this. And I'm not going to wait for somebody to pat me on the back or hand me a free ride for me to have what I need. I need to get going. And I've had to do that. And there have been times when I found out that I was given a responsibility and I didn't have the exact skill set to get to do a good job. And I had to admit that to myself. Boy, that's painful. To admit you don't have the necessary skills or the talent needs to be sharpened. Doesn't mean you don't have the talent. It means you might have to sharpen that a bit, focus that a bit. And so I've had to take some time out of my relaxing time to learn some things to make me a more effective leader. I remember saving money so that I could go and sit with a person of influence because I really felt that God was challenging my leadership skills to a whole new zenith and that something was going to ride on this decision. And corporately, together, Greta and I made that decision. Yes, this was the will of the Lord. We'll save for that to happen. And I got to, not to go before one influential person, but two. And spend hours with them alone. Why? Because we were willing to make the sacrifices to get there, to go to where we thought was kingdom business. Has it all worked out the way we thought? Nope. Nope. But are we willing to keep pursuing? Yes. I just want to encourage you, don't look or be intimidated by your limitations. Don't compare yourself to others who live effectively. Because according to verse 29, do you see a man skilled in his work? That's a question. That means you've got to look at what somebody's doing and say, are they doing the right job? Are they in the right place? Are they doing the right thing? He will serve before kings. Well, many of us will not serve before a king today, but we will serve the King of Kings. Yes. Amen? Yes. That's who we serve first. Yes. And he will not serve before obscure men. The Lord will direct our plans, our purpose. When you are diligent, people of influence will want to connect with you. They'll invite you to come and work along their side. God is looking for diligent people today. You know why? Because there's so much work to do in the kingdom of God. Oh, we have our 9-to-5 jobs? Absolutely. But there's also work to do in the kingdom of God. And where you're at from 9-to-5 is a kingdom of God job. That is your ministry. We're being challenged this morning to face the roar of the lion as we decide to deal with the excuses we are making regarding our struggle of being diligent or of being lazy. We've been cautioned through Proverbs about the importance of realizing, confessing, changing our desire to make excuses and rationalize our own laziness. It is wise to choose to be industrious. It is wise to choose to be productive people who are motivated to serve God with our very best during our lives. When we find ourselves struggling with laziness and apathy, it's at that moment that we need to reset our thinking, reset our emotions, reset our plan of action so we can be industrious. We can begin to be purposeful and set simple goals that you and I can achieve each day. That simple goal, as I say, may be setting your alarm clock for tomorrow as a reminder that you have work to do. Recall a time when your work seemed fulfilling and ask yourself what you can do to live today a God-purposed life of diligence. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this journey we've taken through the book of Proverbs. We thank you today that you are reminding us that every single person here today has struggled with being diligent or being lazy. but you've given us some help. You've showed us a comparison, and you're challenging us today to be people who are intentional and be people of self-control and be people who lean into the wisdom of God and be people who are focused achiever. And Father, that we're aware that others are expecting us to do and be diligent. And Lord, that you are reminding us that we're going to excel in our work as we choose to be productive, dependable, diligent, on time, and resourceful people. Lord, we thank you for your truth, and we thank you that your truth sets us free and puts our feet on that path. We just pray, Father, that those who have been in a season of unproductivity or struggling, Lord, with fear, struggling to overcome laziness and unproductivity, Father, come to them today with your Spirit. Stir in them a knowing that you've deposited within them your divine purpose. You've deposited in them skill sets, talents, and abilities that can get them into a work environment so they are productive and diligent people. We ask that you would grant that breakthrough for that person who's been waiting for a job and struggling to find that exact place to go, that exact place to sign on the dotted line that they would work there. God, would you be faithful to open up doors which no man could open but you alone, and give them the confidence, give them the assurance to be at peace.
Thank you for listening. For more information, please visit us at joycc.info.